You're listening to Off the Hour on CKUT Radio 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca around the world. The Canadian Pacific Spirit Train has been rolling across the country since September 21st. CP Rail has described it as, quote, mobile ambassador moving the Olympic spirit to Canadian communities. However, it has attracted protests from activists along the way. And tomorrow, the Spirit Train reaches its destination here in Montreal. Today, Off the Hour presents a special program in opposition to the Spirit Train and the coming 2010 Olympics. We invite you to join tomorrow, that is Saturday the 18th, around 1 p.m., in a demonstration that will gather at the Centre des Sciences de Montréal, K. King Edward Edward, in the Vieux Port de Montréal, entre King Edward, Coin Saint-Laurent et de la Commune, Métro Place d'Armes. During this program, you will hear interviews about the impact of the 2010 Olympics on Mother Earth, women, Indigenous communities, and the poor. We will also hear about the importance of disrupting Spirit Train events and stopping the propaganda machine. For more information, you can go on www.no2010.com, www.no2010.com, pour de l'info en français contre les Olympiques 2010.anarchia.org.
Point 3 FM on Off the Hour. Today is a special program about the coming of the Spirit Train in Montreal tomorrow, the 18th. And we're going to talk about the Spirit Train, its travel through Canada for the last month. For who which don't know what it implicates, it's an object of propaganda of the spirit of the Olympics that travels town to town in Canada. I've traveled for the last month, and its last stop is in Montreal tomorrow. And many of the events that were surrounding this train when you would stop in the cities in Canada have been disrupted by some resistance or some opposant to the Olympics and to its propaganda. But we're going to begin with some interviews with two wonderful women from the group Ecolalia that use music as a political tool. They talk about their opposition to the Olympics, to its negative impact on the land, on Mother Earth, on the woman, on the indigenous, on the oppressed in general. And after Gord Hill, which is an activist from BC, from the nation Kwakwaka'wakw, which have been part of the Native Youth Movement in Vancouver, have invested itself a lot in the Warrior publications and is really active in the opposition to the Olympic down Vancouver Whistler. We'll also talk about its opposition to all this massive destruction that the Olympics legitimize. Also, if you want more information about the Olympics, the 2010 Olympics that will happen in Vancouver Whistler, that will impose there, you can go on no2010.com. Et si vous êtes francophone, vous pouvez aussi trouver de l'information en français sur le site contre les Olympiques de 2010.anarchia. Anarchia s'écrit ANARKHIA.org.
Historically, the impact of the Olympics on women is that IOC officials have been bribed historically, and certainly today is no exception, have been bribed with sex trade workers, and that's the process of the bid. So IOC members are bribed secretly by the cities to choose the city, and so they're bribed with things like $1 million shopping sprees with women, with things like that. Historically, in any Olympic city, sex trafficking goes up 100%. Rapes and buying and selling of women goes up.
You have people coming into the city with, you know, massive wealth.
And the intention of
yeah, the intention of scoring.
Exactly.
The buying, selling. And I think another huge aspect of it is, you know, poverty in general.
Exactly.
Which we did like touch on earlier. But the instance of, you know, women, like single mothers with children, is a lot higher than single fathers with children. And so, you know, automatically you get a higher rate of poverty in those families. And the amount of, that the Olympics affects the poverty in any city that it comes to, in turn affects these women trying to raise their children. The, rent has gone up through the roof. You know, child care has gone down. The level of, adequate child care, affordable child care in this city it's pathetic. There's so many women out there making minimum wage. Like, as an uneducated woman, really your options are you serve, you work a cash register somewhere, you know, you're...
Sex trade.
Or the sex trade, exactly. And I think that, you know, people tend to forget that these are, you know, moms trying to make it, and these are, you know, young women trying to make it. A man can really easily go get a construction job anywhere right now. But that's not really the case with a lot of females. And so, you know, minimum wage being $8 in Vancouver, and, you know, the lowest you're going to pay for rent for a bachelor suite is $400 or $500, and that's low.
That's, yeah.
That's pretty much unheard of. So you add in, you know, 1, 2, 3 children, and it's impossible. It's an impossibility, really.
I see it every day. Women come into the office where I work, and they will tell me that they have received an eviction notice for some hotel that is closing down so that they can turn it into a boutique hotel or a tourist accommodation for the Olympic Games. And women will come in and they will say, listen, I received this eviction notice. I, you know, have a baby and I was living in this hotel. And now that I've received this eviction notice, I'm out on the streets and I need to find a place. And the ministry is telling me now that I can't get a hotel room. I can't live in a hotel room because I need another bedroom for my baby. But I'm only receiving enough to buy one room in a fucking shitty, shitty fucking hotel. And they're going to take away my baby. Either they've taken away my baby or they're going to, because I cannot afford the amount of money that it would take for me to have a 2-bedroom apartment. Even though the ministry said it's okay for you to live in this shitty fucking hotel, but now that it's closed, now they're on my ass. So now my baby's going to be taken away. And, oh, well, now my baby's taken away. Well, I'm not getting the kind of... I'm not getting child support on the ministry anymore. So I'm only getting single-person welfare. So I'm only getting a couple $100 a month. So there's no fucking way that I can go out and get, you know, a room in some apartment, a 2-room, because I only have enough for a single mother and, or a single person, and they're not taking into account my child. So I have no way of getting a place because they're not taking my child into account anymore, because my child's now in social services. So there's no way that I can fucking get my child back.
It's all a catch-22, and it's designed that way so that, you know,
to keep women poor.
Yeah, so that the money can be, you know, funneled into important things like the military and
the Olympic Games
and, you know, the tourism industry.
Exactly. Fuck, man. I'm riled up about that one, man. Oh, so fucking angry.
Thank you. That song was called Send Out the Raven, and my name is Steph.
And my name is Adrian. And we are at Coelia. yeah, I play violin, Steph plays acoustic guitar.
This song was written about the 2010 Olympic Games that are going to be held in Vancouver. I believe opening ceremonies are on February 12th. And it's about upping the ante, it's about resistance for 2010. Vancouver has seen some insane changes that have happened over the past few years. I moved here in 2005, and for the past 3 years, the amount of changes I've seen have been phenomenal. First of all, the Olympic Games are happening on completely unceded, unsurrendered Indigenous territory, which means that British Columbia is unique in the sense that it is the only province that is completely unsurrendered, which means that there have been virtually no treaties signed.
Which is also really interesting because British Columbia tends to take such pride in their Indigenous culture, and they use these Indigenous symbols as symbols of their province and of the country, and it's robbery, in my opinion, and it's very fake, and it's putting on a very fake front to the entire world. They're bringing the entire world into Vancouver to show them what, you know, Canada's all about, what Vancouver's all about, and it's a lie.
Exactly. Canada puts on this entire sort of universal front in which it's considered a country that holds human rights in a very high regard, which is obviously disgusting when you look at the way that Canada treats the Indigenous population here. Not only the Indigenous population, but any population of color. In Vancouver, we've seen, in terms of poor people, in terms of low-income housing, in terms of poor people, which is a vast number of poor people, are Indigenous people in Vancouver, and in the downtown east side, which is the largest off-reserve ghetto in Canada. It's the poorest postal code off-reserve. It's also the largest open drug market. It's a very, very sad situation. But, it's very similar to what happened in Expo 86, when we had Expo in Vancouver. And so what we've seen...
Mass social cleansing.
It's
bringing more and more and more cops into this neighborhood that the city has forgotten about until this point. And not just the downtown east side, but the entire city in general. I have friends who live in the suburbs of Vancouver, and they said they have seen with their own eyes cops bringing people that they have seen in the downtown east side into the suburbs and literally just dropping them off and saying, get the fuck out, you're not welcome here. They are systematically exterminating these people to put on a big show for the world.
Why do we oppose the 2010 Winter Olympics? Well, you know, the Olympics present themselves as this almost like a sacred or honored tradition of amateur sports and athletics and stuff like that. But the reality is, like, now that we've, you know, Vancouver won the bid in 2003 to host the 2010 Winter Olympics. And since then, we've seen, you know, like over 300, almost 350% increase in homelessness, people being evicted from low-income housing so that they can convert it to high-income tourist market type of accommodations, environmental destruction, the Sea to Sky Highway, like the amount of environmental destruction that's going on up there, the whole Olympic industry, which is based around the corporations, and it's really facilitating like a corporate invasion into British Columbia. So the impacts of it are going to be, long term, past 2010, but we're already experiencing the impacts right now. It's going to put in place police state with, you know, expanded surveillance and just new more resources for the police to repress our social movements here. There's many, many aspects of the Olympics that one can oppose, you know, and for any more information, I would direct people to no2010.com, which is a website, has a lot of information on there. It has a massive impact, like a massive social impact on people, so that's why we oppose it. And it's quite a struggle to break through the corporate media propaganda, which has, you know, a lot of the people entranced by this, the Olympic illusion, you know, what it is and stuff like that. So if we can break that, you know, that's one way we can expand anti-colonial and anti-capitalist consciousness, is by opposing the Olympics, right?
Okay, are we ready? I'm Naomi Klein, author of The Shock Doctrine. You're listening to CKUT. Keep listening.
So we are here today to talk about the opposition against the Olympics of 2010, the 2010 Olympics, and against the spirit train in particular. Particularly, this train was created by the Canadian Pacific to defend by propaganda the spirit of the Olympics. This train was on a railway from Port Moody, 15 minutes around Vancouver, from Vancouver, very near from this city, to Montreal, and the Montreal event will be tomorrow, and will be a demonstration. Aaron will speak about this a little bit later. The Spirit Train is created by the Canadian Pacific. Comme il est dit en français dans le communiqué, le soi-disant train de la fierté du CP est une initiative visant à, entre guillemets, transmettre à tous les Canadiens l'esprit des Jeux Olympiques. Fin des guillemets. Or, le Canadien Pacifique est, depuis sa création, un des instruments principaux du colonialisme euro-canadien. Les chemins de fer du CP ont entre autres été utilisés pour acheminer des soldats de la couronne dans l'Ouest afin de réprimer dans le sang les soulèvements des Métis et des Autochtones. Il semble tout naturel que cette société colonialiste s'emploie aujourd'hui en tant que principal commanditaire à vanter les mérites des Jeux Olympiques d'un bout à l'autre du pays, sans égard au fait que les Jeux doivent se dérouler sur des terres volées au premier peuple de l'île de la Tortue. Ça suit. La plus grande partie de la province de la Colombie-Britannique est encore aujourd'hui constituée de territoires autochtones non concédés, non attribués. Selon la loi canadienne, la Colombie-Britannique n'a ni le droit légal, ni le droit moral d'exister, et moins encore de revendiquer le territoire ou de gouverner les peuples autochtones. Malgré cela et malgré le nouveau processus frauduleux de traité qui s'instaure actuellement, le gouvernement continue à vendre, à louer et à développer les territoires des Autochtones au profit des sociétés privées investies dans l'extraction des ressources minérales et forestières, des exploitations gazières et pétrolières, et l'implantation de stations balnéaires. Pendant ce temps, les peuples autochtones sont exposés plus que toute autre communauté à la pauvreté, au chômage, aux persécutions judiciaires, aux brutalités policières, aux problèmes de santé, aux suicides, etc., etc. C'est entre autres tiré d'un extrait de la brochure « 10 raisons de s'opposer aux Olympiques de 2010 ». Dans le prochain bloc d'entrevue, vous entendrez tour à tour Gord Hill. You will listen to Gord Hill speaking against the Spirit Train. This interview was made in Port Moody at the beginning of the train. The second interview we'll listen will be an interview with McDonald Stansby, made by Aaron Shub. McDonald Stansby is a writer, social activist, journalist, and is, like he said, is professional hitchhikers for a better world. You will listen in the third part to an interview we made with Dan Keller, who was the spokesperson for the people who was blockade the Spirit Train around Elder Mines near Toronto.
My name is Gord Hill from the Kwakwaka'wakw Nation, and we're working with the Olympic Resistance Network.
So, can you talk about this resistance against the Spirit Train?
Well,
begins this day.
Okay, well, the Canadian Pacific Railways is launching their Spirit Train today, September 21st, 2008, and it's an Olympic propaganda machine. They're going to send it across the country, and they're trying to raise, mobilize public support for the 2010 Winter Olympics. So we came down here today to shut it down and disrupt it, and to kick it off so that as it crosses the country, there'll be other protests and actions to disrupt it as well, so we can show that there's resistance against the 2010 Olympics.
What happened during this day?
Today we rallied in downtown Vancouver. We took a bus out here to Port Moody, where they're launching the Spirit Train from. We got down there and we took over the front area of the stage, and making noise, you know, pots and pans, loudspeakers, and a sound system, and we shut their event down, and we showed that there's strong opposition. And VANOC, the Vancouver Olympic Organizing Committee, and You know, the corporate sponsor, CPR, they thought they could come out here to the suburbs in Port Moody outside of Vancouver, that they'd be safe, they could have their event. But we came out here and we showed, you know, you can't escape the wrath of the oppressed, and we will hunt you down. We will disrupt every event you try to hold down here. You know, one thing, they could have had this event in downtown Vancouver. He had a huge event, but they're afraid to. They're afraid because of the resistance in the streets that we've accomplished over the last couple of years.
And we can say to the people that they can have more information on no2010.com.
Yeah, you can check out our website, www.no2010.com, for all the latest information updates. You check out the Spirit Train schedule. If it's coming into your area, you can organize an action against it.
CP is using this event to promote their involvement in the Games. Anti-Olympics and Anti-Tar Sands organizers are using the Spirit Train event as it crosses Canada to highlight that the Games are more than just friendly competition. McDonald Stainsby, an organizer against the Tar Sands project, explains why the Spirit Train was targeted.
Well, the Spirit Train, both in terms of Canadian Pacific, represents the historical link to colonialism and the building of the railroads across the country, which is part of the stuff that we're highlighting around both the Olympics and the Tar Sands, as they continue to escalate the basic land grab and destruction of traditional territories for many nations. In both the case of the Olympics and the Tar Sands, the rate of housing and homelessness in throughout the both provinces has escalated dramatically with these vast projects. So we decided that there was a need to confront the Spirit Train here and make the links between the Spirit Trains and the Olympics, as well as the Tar Sands development, because the corporations that are the primary sponsors and promoters of the Spirit Train, as well as the Olympics themselves, happen to be some of the biggest profiteers off of Indigenous land theft in the Tar Sands as well. So it was important for the community of Edmonton to make clear that we believe in the spirit of resistance and not the spirit of the Olympics.
McDonald links Petro-Canada, sponsor of the Olympics, to the Tar Sands development that is happening north of Edmonton.
Petro-Canada, for example, right now has over $60 million invested as a corporate sponsor in the Olympics, and has a massive new project that will be one of the largest projects in the Tar Sands, which will be a strip mining operation, absolutely decimating areas just north of the community of Mackay. So when we start looking at who's involved, we realize that this is really not like two separate things, but one giant issue.
The CP Spirit Train is still making its way across the country with stops in Thunder Bay, Sudbury, Mississauga, Smith Falls, and then ending its trip in Montreal on October 18th.
My name is Dan Keller. I'm the spokesperson for this particular event. I'm also a member of Anti-War at Laurier, which is a direct action nonviolent group in Ontario, in Waterloo, Ontario. The action that we undertook was blockading the CP Spirit Train, which is crossing the country, spreading Olympic spirit, but not much else. It's not talking about the true issues that are underlying these Olympics. It's not talking about, it's presenting the Olympics as sport and culture, but it's not presenting the damage that the Olympics are causing in Vancouver and in large areas of BC. In particular, there's two or three really main items. One, there was the call for solidarity from the Olympic Resistance Network and the Native Youth Movement out in BC to bring attention that the games are being held on stolen Native land. And one of the things our group, Anti-War Laurier, does is we work in solidarity with First Nations that are being oppressed and having their land expropriated from them, either through dishonoring of treaties or just by totally ignoring the rights of the people that that have the land. We're working in solidarity with them and with activists from the Six Nations that are based in Ontario as well, and activists from Guelph, Toronto, Hamilton, and Kitchener-Waterloo. The action we undertook was locking down on the tracks. One of our members of the action, Wayne Small, actually locked down onto the tracks using a self-release mechanism that made it impossible for the police to remove her without using pain compliance or lengthy welding procedures. So we, at about 5 o'clock on Sunday, on Highway 27, or on the overpass on Highway 27 where the bridge goes over, the rail bridge goes over, we she locked down, we moved on to the tracks, and we dropped banners for the passing cars and waited for the police and media to arrive.
Do you have a message for the people in Montreal who will protest against the spirit rail?
Yeah, do it. have a good protest. The spirit train, it's being protested all across the country, and it's just it would be inspiring to see a very large turnout in Montreal, just to know that, you know, the resistance is building. It's not something that's fading. It's not something that we're going to forget about. But yeah, if there's a large turnout in Montreal, it will really, I think it'll show the support for the people out west that have called for solidarity, and it'll empower all the activists that are working on this, trying to get the information out about the Olympics and the spirit train.
This is Howard Zinn, speaking with Off the Hour for CKUT.
And up now we have Aaron Lakoff with some more about the demonstrations going on against the spirit train.
Yeah, hi, thank you. So I guess as the listeners might be aware, the spirit train, which was just being talked about, is going to be in Montreal, down in the old port of the city tomorrow. And I guess, was the spirit train explained a little bit on the previous interviews?
Yes, it has been explained, but we'd love your input.
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, I won't go too deep into what exactly it is if it's already been explained, but what I would just underline is that it's extremely important for people here in Montreal who believe in Indigenous self-determination and Indigenous rights, in principles like fighting poverty and gentrification, to come out and to oppose the spirit train, because the connections might not seem obvious here in Montreal, but I think to a lot of people, poor people, Indigenous people in Vancouver and in British Columbia, these are issues that are really coming to the forefront with the development of the 2010 Olympic Games. Basically, the spirit train is just this propaganda stunt by Canadian Pacific Rail to try to whitewash the real impacts of this development is happening on the environment of the west coast of Canada, on the very impoverished downtown east side community of Vancouver. And, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that we've seen in Montreal and in Quebec over the years, but it's just being completely accelerated because of the development of the Olympic Games in Vancouver. So, I mean, this is, I guess, the first very tangible symbol of the Olympics that we're going to see in Montreal tomorrow. And it's very important for people to come out and to say no to this completely reckless development and destruction of native lands in British Columbia. So we're calling for a protest, and it's going to be a pretty fun, noisy disruption of the spirit train ceremonies. We're going to be meeting at 1 o'clock sharp, right in front of the Montreal Science Center, which is in the Old Port. If you go all the way down Saint Laurent Boulevard, basically until the very end, and then just go into the Old Port, you should be able to find it pretty easily. And I would encourage people to come out, bring their noisemakers, bring your own spirit, because this spirit train has managed to reappropriate that very term. And we're going to show our spirit of resistance against this whole sham of the Olympics.
And we'll have to leave it there today, Aaron, but thank you for joining us on the show.
And also, if I could just mention one other thing very quickly, is that the Olympic torch will be coming through Montreal in about a year's time, and I guess that'll be the second chance that we'll get to disrupt the Olympics here, so people should keep their eyes and ears open for that as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What is the right way? Well, I believe the right way in disrupting any sort of Olympic event, any sort of anything with respect to globalization, is to disrupt it. I think that, I personally think that very confrontational tactics are very effective. I think that fighting fire with fire certainly creates a bigger flame, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? I do also think that you can fight fire with water. But I think that both of those tactics are really good. I think that you can properly disrupt an Olympic event by various means. But I think that the biggest thing is that those means and those efforts are concentrated. I think that any sort of actions that you're going to be participating in need to be concentrated so that they can have a very immediate, very quick, very large impact, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If there's going to be a protest, then there should also be fire, right?
I think the best tactics, in my opinion, are to be loud.
And effective. The best tactic is an effective tactic.
Yeah, man. Use all of the tools of your community and say, you know, this person is great at this person, this person is great at this thing. And say, you know, if we take all of these talents and all of this intelligence and we utilize all of those individuals in the proper way, where they are needed, where they can be used, like, that's organization, right? And that's what this resistance needs. It's organization, and it's possible.
Yeah.
It's fucking totally possible. And yeah, to just shout it out, to fucking get it out there, to protest every day, not give up on it.
I think something that's been really effective has been the above ground organizing, as well as the autonomous underground organizing. They've both been working very concurrently, and they've both been working very effectively. We've seen protests in which squats have been taken. We've seen protests in which people have just been marching down the street with their banners up, and the Six Nations flag, and the Warrior flag, and the Anti-Olympic flag. These have all been very, very public protests and very effective at getting the message out. At the same time, we have very autonomous underground actions that have been happening all the time. We have ATMs being burned in Montreal. We have Toronto car dealerships being firebombed. We have all these things being taken in the name of the Olympic Games, anti-Olympic Games. We have the Olympic flag being stolen. We have all of these. How many rocks have been thrown through the windows of RBC, right? These are all underground actions, and they've all been very effective
and
countered with above ground organizing, right?
What's wicked about it, too, is that I think for the first time I have seen like the autonomous actions and the more above actions supporting each other,
mm-hmm.
and saying, like, acknowledging that this event had happened and saying, yes, we support that, you know, maybe like more organized groups, like you can take the Anti-Poverty Committee, for example, holding an event or a protest or an action, and people that aren't so willing to put themselves out there publicly, you know, doing their part, whether it be in the same city, being there, like, in balaclavas or...
Arsons,
fucking, you know, writing about it, sharing information, and having that kind of support for each other. It's really cool, because you can see this web kind of...
this movement developing.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
So tomorrow, the Spirit Train demonstrations again in the old port of Montreal, 1 o'clock, Place d'Arc Metro.